You hungry?
I ain't no snitch.
Let's be honest, there's 29 NBA teams and then there's a G League roster with a few stars.
They have a math problem offensively.
I think we're live. Hello and welcome to the live Nerder, She Wrote edition, trade deadline edition of the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore, here with Seth Partnow, Mo DeKeel, the usual suspects, and special guest, Andrew Schlecht. Mostly just because Oklahoma City has every draft pick in the NBA. At least somebody.
Traded a draft pick. They sent a draft pick out. I was shocked.
Wait, what?
Did that just happen? In order to help the protections on a first round pick, it was definitely like a true sicko pick move.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, you know, a quiet trade deadline. Nothing happening. Okay, look, let's just jump right in with the Harden Ben Simmons trade, because this is a big deal and it's been brewing for a minute and seems like it got done sometime this morning. And here are the particulars. The Brooklyn Nets will receive Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and an unprotected 2022 first round pick and a protected 2027 first round pick. And the protections there are a little funky, and I'll get to that in a minute. The Sixers receive James Harden and Paul Millsap. The protection for the picks are really funny, guys. The Nets are going to get the Sixers 2020 first round pick unprotected with a right to defer until 2023 and a 2027 first round pick protected 1-8. The 2027 pick would roll over to 2028 protected 1-8 again, and then it turns into 2 seconds and $2 million in 2029. Got all that? You guys take notes?
Yeah.
Initial reaction right off the bat. James Harden to the Sixers. I want to start there because I think that that's a big swing for Daryl Morey. Seth, we know that James Harden, he can get it done in the pick and roll. Joel Embiid could use a guy who, you know, can operate the way that James Harden can. Is this going to work? Is this going to be great? Can Joel Embiid pick up the defensive issues that Harden has?
Well, when this trade was being reported as closing in on done, it seemed like Matisse Thybulle was the sticking point, and they didn't trade him. So that's a big step in terms of maintaining Philly's defense, even though Harden has limitations. But thinking of who's going to be in their closing lineup, he's probably slotting in for Seth Curry, who is probably a more attentive defender, but maybe not much better of one. So as long as the effort is there, I don't see that presenting new problems. They may be a touch short on shooting, but that's sort of a problem on the other end.
Mo, we know that James Harden can defend in the post, so maybe that's the thought here. He's going to play more four next to Embiid.
Yeah, because there's so many teams running two post ups at the same time, right? No, I have a lot of issues with it. I've written about it before. You know, I just think the idea of the pairing with Harden and Embiid, I don't think it works really as well as everybody thinks on both ends of the court. Harden being a heavy switch guy when he decides to even play defense, and Embiid being really most efficient when he's in drop coverage, right? And he does a great job in drop coverage, kind of almost it's more center field, kind of keeping everything in front of him and making the ball handler have to decide stuff. I think it puts them in a very difficult spot defensively. It's great that they kept Thybulle, although it'll hurt them on the offensive end because that's one less shooter when he's on the court, but he's going to guard the best perimeter player. I think it's kind of it'll be interesting to watch how this whole thing plays out, but I just think I don't like this for Philly. I think Harden's great.
I agree with you, Mo. I agree with what you wrote the other day over at Bleacher Report. And Andrew, I think that when you've got a guy like James Harden, everywhere he's been and every time he's on the court, people have to figure out how to play with him. You have Joel Embiid, who's an MVP-level player. Seems like Harden needs to come in and acquiesce quite a bit, right?
I don't know. We'll see. This was Daryl's guy. Like, this was his number one guy. I'm sure if he made a list, you know, when Ben Simmons wanted out, however long ago that was, feels like forever ago. He was like, you know what? Number one on my list, James Harden.
And when he took the job, when he took the job, we were talking about him trading Ben Simmons for Harden.
Well, I know, but I mean, even after that, though,
we really missed a great opportunity to drop in a succession line there. And that's, you know, he's his number one boy. Like, that's his,
his number one boy. He got his boy. And that's what this was all about, right? Everybody was like, why is he waiting? Is this really going to pay off? This is taking so long. It's paid off for him. Like, this is what he wanted, and he didn't have to give up Tyrese Maxey. If this deal happened before the season, let's say it theoretically was available before the season started, Tyrese Maxey's probably in the trade, right? And now he's gotten to develop, and they didn't have to include him. Like, that's a huge win. Like, that's a huge part of this, is that they got to keep Maxey. They get to continue to develop him. And Morey got his boy.
And another win is that Harden is going to opt in for next season. So they don't have to make a decision on this crazy extension that he has coming up. And especially at his age, I wouldn't want to make that decision right now. Need to see how that hamstring looks. What were you about to say, Seth?
Sorry, no, I'm going to agree and disagree with Mo. I agree just to yeah. I agree that the kind of the synergy between the offensive games of Harden and Embiid is not perfect. However, it's better synergy than Air and Joel Embiid. Like, this is just talent upgrade that over nobody playing, like just not having that shot playing, that, like, yes, it's not perfect, but it's still they got for this year, they got better. A lot. No,
I'm going to push back. And if we're in the same room, I would have slapped you right then and there.
Can we pause? Because
yes.
Mavericks are taking Kristaps Porzingis to the Washington Wizards.
Beal got his number two. Yay.
Holy smokes.
All right. So Spencer Dinwiddie is going to go to Dallas. Porzingis going to Washington.
There's got to be more. There's got to be more.
There's going to be a lot more. I mean, just for the math to work, there's going to be more. A guy that might be involved in this, Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, a couple of guys that Dallas have to make decisions on this summer. So moving Porzingis, I wonder if that means that they're likely to try to keep both guys. I don't want to get off the Harden-Simmons trade, but that's a big deal, and let's see what details come in as we sit and talk out the other side of this deal. For the Nets, look, Ben Simmons instantly makes their – were you not done with your Harden
point? No, I'm still okay, ready to slap Seth there on that stuff. You know, like, just the concept, first off, offensively, like, James Harden is at his best with a rim-running big. Joel Embiid is at his best as popping. You know, that's what he does really well nowadays. And he pops almost three times more than he does rolling to the rim at this point. And I think that's an important thing there. And Harden is not what he used to be. Right. Like, this is, he's beginning to break down now with the hamstring injuries and things like that. He doesn't take care of his body. Even when he has a chance to play with KD and things like that, he doesn't come into camp in shape. Quit on the team twice now. He quit on Houston, and we saw what he did in the Sacramento game. That was apathetic. He just quit on the team on purpose. That was bad. And you're going to bring him in to the fold. I don't trust this. And I think it's a bad idea. And I think on the offensive end, the Sixers are at their best when Embiid has the ball in the post, and Harden's not good off the ball. He tends to just stand around. Like, there's just a lot of things that they're going to have to try to figure out on the fly. And then even the Dave, him opting in, that's great, but that's just only kind of semantics, because that just means he could sign that super extension.
Right.
And now you're paying the dude 60 something million.
Hey, Mo, you're not factoring in the biggest thing here is they have a top 15 coach of all time. So they're going to have this figured out easily, right?
He canceled practice, guys.
My bad.
On trade deadline day, because, hey, and I actually agree with him there. That was a great move. So I'll give him credit for that. But wait, I want to, the Embiid thing. Seth Curry is a loss for them, because of the way he moves when Embiid has the ball in the post. James Harden is not going to do that. He is not going to be an off-ball weapon at all. He's going to stand around. And I think that this is going to cause issues for their offense. So, go ahead, Seth. Sorry.
No. I mean, there's two different things we're talking about here. One is everything Mo just said about, you know, coming to camp and sort of the long-term viewpoint of what they're paying him. That's all true. But if we're talking about just, are the Sixers in a better position to win a title this year today than they were yesterday? Admitting everything that you said about the imperfect fit, this is still the best perimeter creator Joel Embiid has ever played with. Now, it may not create perfectly for him, but it's hard to, it is hard to run crunch time offense through a big unless it's Jokic, because, you know, Embiid has improved his passing and he's a good ball handler, but he's not at the level of Jokic on that. So in the, those, and those are situations where they have come up short in the past, and, you know, they maybe don't run the best ATOs in those situations. And so you have a guy, you don't need an ATO. You just kind of like clear. So accepting all of those things, we can talk, and we will talk about whether they sacrifice too much long term when you factor in the fact that I think it's pretty clear they're going to give the whole bag to James Harden. We can talk about that, but for just the narrow this year, what are we doing? I'm shocked that you think that they didn't meaningfully improve.
I don't think they're any better. Their odds of winning the championship are any better this after this trade than it was before. I don't think when you look at the way Harden's been dealing with all year, just the hamstring stuff in that instance, I think it's difficult. Adding a player like him requires literally a training camp to get kind of used to just how he plays. And then again, taking the ball out of Embiid's hands more often is not a good win for the Sixers, in my opinion, even for this year, even if it's for a guy like Harden. And I think that's the issue. And the whole thing of like, well, you know, it's better than, you know, Ben Simmons sitting on the bench. They're 10 games above 500, you know, right now. And as tight as the East is a moment's notice, they could be up there in number one, whether with Harden or without. But like, I think also losing Seth Curry, who is extremely important for their team offensively, is a big blow. And him and Embiid had a great dribble handoff action stuff, a lot of good stuff flowing and everything that they do. I don't think they are that much better at winning a championship this year. And in fact, the team they traded with now, I think, has a better chance at winning a championship than the Sixers at this point.
Yeah, I want to switch over to the Nets, because I think the Nets got more serious with this trade. And Andrew, we watched the Nets the first 6 weeks, and you and I talked about how funny it was that they were defending so well. And we're like, well, maybe it's because they don't have Kyrie. I don't know. We couldn't figure it out. Well, the wheels fell off, right? After that first 6 weeks, they've just been awful. And Ben Simmons instantly makes their defense better. Not to mention, I think he gives them a component on the offensive end that they just didn't have. This is a great trade for the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly does theoretically. We haven't seen Ben Simmons play basketball in a long time. Let's see what he looks like when he gets out onto the court. But the Ben Simmons that we last saw, yeah, he's gonna help them. He takes a ton of burden off of Kevin Durant on the defensive end, where Kevin can almost freelance a little bit. So it improves their defense tremendously. Offensively, I think that it's about the best fit that you could have for Ben Simmons. If you were to throw Ben Simmons on any team, it's probably the best fit, because you have theoretically two guys, depending on where you're playing the game, you have two guys that can really score the basketball, that have great gravity. And if he's kind of a guy that's in the dunker spot or facilitating a little bit, like, that certainly helps. But we've got to see what he looks like on the court, you know, first and foremost, and then we can kind of evaluate from there. So I honestly, when I looked at this trade, I love it for both teams. Like, I think both teams got better. I think fit, like the fit issues with both teams, I think this kind of alleviates, you know, some for both. So actually in like the rare, like big time blockbuster trade, I think that both teams got better.
I'm not sure whether Philly won or lost this trade. I'm positive Brooklyn won this trade. Yeah. You know, obviously the fit with Simmons, you know, whatever you say about his ability in the half court offense, get out of KD's way is a pretty simple, you know, Ben Simmons is a more effective offensive player than Andre Robertson, and Andre Robertson was able to be on the court with KD. Add Seth Curry. You have to assume that Joe Harris isn't back this season. That's maybe even an upgrade, like just as a spacer and a shooter.
Sure.
Harris is probably slightly better defensively, but that's an upgrade there. Drummond gives them a big body just to bang against, I don't know, Joel Embiid. Now
allows him to float Claxton out there as a piece as we approach 15 minutes to the deadline, right? Because so Drummond's been really good as a hub, actually, with those bench units in Philly, too. So
it's good for them now, But then think about it going forward. They have these two extra picks that they can use to build around this. Instead of paying Harden, who has all the concerns about longevity that Mo, came out with, they now have Simmons, who, assuming he is right and willing to play, is someone who's going to, it should be at least, hold up well on the rest of KD's timeline, like the life of Kevin Durant's remaining time frame, and these two picks that they can continue to add pieces with. And dodging paying James Harden $55 million a year or whatever when he's in his mid to late 30s. Like, this is the rare trade that made them better today, better going forward. This is a home run for Brooklyn.
First, I'm with Timothy Hale. We definitely need the Sixers Nets playoff experience here, and we have to do whatever shenanigans, have to rig whatever games we need to, whoever we got to call in, we need to make that happen. So I'm with you there, Timo. The thing for me is everything Seth said nailed it. Like, and now after slapping him, I'm hugging him. And I think the most important thing is it takes pressure off Simmons offensively, right? And I don't think they're done. I think Claxton might be, like you said, Dave, could be on the move. I think the two first round picks are going to be interesting and they could find a piece back. But just without Kyrie, at some point, they're going to be able to have Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, and Patty Mills on the floor together. I mean, that's three unbelievable shooters, and Simmons is a passer. I could be the fifth guy. They'll probably get buckets. You know, I think the way they're set up in the way it's all built, like, that's a pretty solid team right there. And, you know, a few days ago, I was like, yo, this Nets team's a mess. No chance. Now I'm looking at them going like, man, if Simmons comes back, and it's going to take a while to ramp him up, but when he comes back, I think you're going to have to look at them as one of the favorites to come out of the East.
Hanging on to Patty Mills was absolutely incredible in this deal, because I thought he was going to be a guy they were going to have to move. And now, you, like you said, him and Seth on the court, I mean, there's two small guards, yes, but you'll have so much size with KD and with Ben Simmons, and then all of that shooting. I actually think that they're going to have a pretty potent small ball lineup that is going to be really hard for some of the big time teams in the East to match.
I mean, think about a pick and roll with KD and Simmons on the short roll, and then in the corners are Patty Mills and Seth Curry. Good luck.
And they're 24-12 when KD has played, like, for as much as they've been going through it recently, they're 24-12 in games Durant has played with all the other stuff they've had going on. So, like, yeah, you have to think that this, you know, Milwaukee
adding Ben Simmons to a 30 points per game player is a good thing. Yes, they're gonna be adding KD after the All-Star break. I hope he's coming back, and then they're gonna add Simmons, and they're gonna go on like a 20 game run, and it's gonna look like the Nuggets did last year when they got Aaron Gordon. It's gonna be, I don't know, man. I think the Nets might have just put themselves in the pole position.
It's a wild trade. Hey, this is what we asked for. Last week I said, hey, GMs, get to work. We need to have a good trade deadline. Yeah. I just want to thank all the NBA front offices for listening to me, because if I didn't say that, we wouldn't have had this. So everybody, you're welcome, and thank you, front offices.
I know we'll probably want to move on to something else, but
yeah,
let's back out a second. This is a legacy-defining gamble for Daryl Morey.
Ooh, yes.
Like, for, you know, for all the risks that you're talking about for this year, Mo, combined with the fact that this is, you know, for the way it seemed like the leverage was breaking, like, those are two real picks that he's giving up. Like, when it first came out, it was like, okay, the 2022 unprotected, that's the 26th pick. It's not a great draft this year, whatever. 27, let's see what protections are. Now it comes back, it's only top eight, and they can defer to next year. And, you know, there is not tire fire potential, the train wreck potential for a team that is built around Joel Embiid is not zero. You know, it's
James Harden.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, as long as Embiid's on the floor, they're going to be fine. Like, that pick can't be that good as long as Embiid's on the floor.
You mean that bad? You mean
four
that
years from now?
No, I mean that the pick that conveys won't be.
Oh, hopefully that. Okay, gotcha. My bad.
Yeah.
So this is a pr- pretty big swing. And, you know, I never love to judge, you know, do hindsight judging, but hindsight's going to say a lot about what this means. And it's an interesting bookend because Morey kind of announced his presence as a, you know, an NBA, you know, general manager by trading for James Harden. And now kind of at the sort of the back end of that, James, see how this one works out. It's fascinating in that sense.
Is this a guy you want to be married to? Just from a basketball perspective? I mean, I just wonder, like, at this point in his career, James Harden.
Yeah.
I think he had a window in Houston. I thought they did a really good job putting a good team around him. And you just run into a buzzsaw Warriors team. But that's not the same James Harden that he is now. The hamstring thing has been going on for longer than this season. This is a multi-season thing. He's never been a body guy. I just
could
don't
they
know.
Have done better in season though? Like that's my that's question. Like, the could point. They have done better in
but
season
they gave up
with Simmons?
So much.
I mean, they gave up potentially so much. That's the thing.
Sure.
Is it and that's that, you know, if they are good for the next three, like if they are really good for the next three or four seasons, they didn't give up that much.
Okay, sure. So what do they have to do this year for you to say, yes, that was a hell of a trade? Because I think, honestly, and everybody could hate me for this because I know everybody was tired of the Simmons stuff, I would have waited till the offseason. But what do you guys think? Too. What do you guys think is the in the playoffs with this with Embiid and Harden, what has to happen for you to say, yo, that's a success?
Go farther than the Nets.
Good luck, because I think the Nets are going to be in the conference. Now, if we get the –
give me the conference finals, baby. If we get success. Them in the conference that's a success finals. For all of us, right?
Yes.
We all win.
If we get a Nets Sixers conference finals, this is a great trade. It's the greatest trade in NBA history. Okay, let's talk Porzingis, because Porzingis got traded, and that's a big deal. Kristaps Porzingis leaving Dallas, going to the Washington Wizards in exchange for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans, who, you know, both of those guys kind of have injury history, but Davis has not been great the last couple of years. Spencer Dinwiddie's been a weird fit in Washington. And, you know, we obviously know all of the issues that have happened with Kristaps Porzingis in Dallas. So I guess I'm going to start with Seth again. Seth, do you see any sort of the vision here for the Wizards? I get it for the Mavericks, but for the Wizards, does this move the needle for you?
I mean, it's two bad contracts for a questionable contract on a much better player. So
feel this is just an asset sort of play.
Well, I think this makes them better on the floor. Like Dinwiddie had not helped
them. You think Porzingis is going to make – is he going to be able to solve their big issues right now?
I mean, he's
– just by improving, just adding talent?
Yeah. No, okay. he makes them better. I mean, he's a good rim protector and a very talented offensive player. Dinwiddie and Beal did not mesh at all. Bertans has looked like one of the worst contracts in the league, basically since that was signed. So, like, is this anything that pushes them over the top? No. Does it help them? Yes. The sort of the meta point is this: the kind of thing that convinces Bradley Beal to stay. Now we can have a separate discussion about how much you arrange your franchise around keeping Bradley Beal at this point in his career, but that's clearly something they're doing now. And does this make it more likely that he stays? You have to think so. You have to think that it seemed like he was agitating for them to get Sabonis and it's, you know, they're different players, but I think similar level players.
Almost, you know, same area of the world too. I mean, they've got that in common. Mo, what do you think? Is Porzingis, I mean, you can see that his shooting will help Beal quite a bit. You think he's got the rim protection to elevate that defense a little bit?
I think so. I think, you know, when Porzingis is healthy, I think he's a pretty good rim protector. He does a good job around there and pretty solid with everything that goes, you know, just kind of being that defender. And then when you have guys like Kuzma's been awesome for the Wizards this season defensively, like you're actually adding some defensive guys there. KCP's been okay. I think you have some good kind of defensive fundamentals. Now, listen, it's not like I'm going crazy and saying this is a massive win for the Wizards and things like that. They upgraded their talent, right? Everything with Bertans has not been very good for a while. Dinwiddie just hasn't really been a great fit really since Brooklyn before KD and Irving came in. Like I've never really found him to be a great fit anywhere else around the NBA since then. Maybe he needs Kenny Atkinson to help him to kind of keep that stuff going. So I don't feel like they lost that much. And with Beal out for the season, it's not like they're in the running for a massive playoff run or anything that's going to go along with it. So you take the swing. It's a big contract for Porzingis, right? I think they have two more years left on the deal or 1 year and then a player option after this season. So it's a massive deal. But in the long run, I don't think it's something that's really going to hurt them. And if he's healthy, they're going to be in pretty good shape right there.
Yeah, and like Seth said, the money is basically a wash. It pretty much is two for one, and the money is basically the same. So you're consolidating two bad contracts into not a bad contract, maybe, but a better player.
It's to some degree, it's the difference. It's a little bit the difference between bad money and dead money.
Right.
Like Bertans at this point is probably dead money, and Dinwiddie probably isn't there. Quite yeah. there, but it's but and whereas Porzingis, is he overpaid? Yes. Is he it went on the floor? Is he a good, like, is he an above average productive top, I don't know, top 40, top 50 ish player? Yes. Is he's paid too much to be just that, but that's an improvement over a guy who's getting paid $20 million a year to do nothing.
Yeah, we're inside 5 minutes until the deadline. So, I mean, there's a good chance we have a bunch of deals roll in here in short succession. But for the Dallas side of this, Andrew, I get getting Spencer Dinwiddie sort of gives you some Jalen Brunson insurance. It's a bigger guard, which is something that they just don't have a lot of. It's a lot of Trey Burks running around in Dallas. That makes sense. You worry about similar fit issues between Dinwiddie and Luka. I mean, Luka really has to have the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I don't understand this. I don't really get this from the Dallas perspective. I think it's a big talent downgrade. I think that I'd rather just keep Jalen Brunson and pay him than bring in Spencer Dinwiddie and try to figure things out on the margins. And now, like, Kristaps Porzingis was like their big fish, right? That they got next to Luka. And it obviously hadn't worked out like they wanted to. And they pressed the eject button, and it's for Davis Bertans and Spencer Dinwiddie. Like that's a I just don't get it. And maybe it's, you know, hope for free agency down the road, like, but I don't know. Like I'm just trying to figure out what the Mavericks are doing, because there's other forwards, right, that play for the Wizards that could help you today. Where
Kyle, like, Kuzma, like, is my favorite Wizard.
Why Davis Bertans?
But I bet he's Washington's favorite Wizard too right now.
Like, he might be, but like you gave up significant talent, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you, but I also don't think this is going to cost them Jalen Brunson. You know, I think they're going to make a push to keep Brunson. I think they're even going to re-sign Dorian Finney-Smith. I think we talked about it before. Go into the tax, figure it out from there, then start trying to peel off those guys in the contract scenarios and try to kind of figure it out from there. Dinwiddie, I think, is just a Tim Hardaway Jr. replacement after he broke his foot for them. Sure. And I think in that sense, and I think that's something they felt like they really missed. And then, you know, the one thing about the Mavs that I don't think gets talked about much, even though their offensive numbers have gone down, they're actually doing a pretty interesting stuff by keeping Luka off the ball and then bringing him back on it at the end. And I think having a guy like Dinwiddie, if not Brunson, when Brunson goes to the bench, then you have Dinwiddie out there kind of being the guy handling the ball until Luka comes off to get it, I think helps them. And I think it's not like a wow trade, but let's just be honest, guys, for Porzingis, you weren't getting wow. You weren't going to get that you're just going to turn in and get like a whole suddenly, wow, the Mavs are massive winners for this. This is a dude that, you know, somebody in the chat was just saying when he's healthy, right? Like right. That's always a scary proposition when you're paying somebody 30 something million. So
but
I
isn't
think
that the
that's
same thing for these two guys that they got? Like when they're healthy, isn't it the same?
Yeah. When Bertans is healthy, he's worth the money that he's paid.
You know, but it's also a smaller contract, right? Down the road might be easier to move, right? Like it
goes a year longer than Porzingis too, though.
Yeah, but if he shows any flashes of just being pretty good and somewhat healthy, right? Show 6 months of good health and knock down some threes, you might be able to get something for it. I'm not saying this is a slam dunk win for them and things like that. It was more just like, take our bad contract, we'll take some of yours, and hopefully we can make it work.
Well, the glass is half full, Mo.
I don't like this for Dallas. Like,
yeah, I don't either
at all. Like you just the more you're talking about what it brings, the more it's like, they got Spencer Dinwiddie as a replacement for Tim Hardaway Jr. They're like polar opposites as offensive players while still both being bad defensive players. Like Tim Hardaway Jr. could spot up, could create a shot in a moment. Like Spencer Dinwiddie has never been a good off ball player.
Plays slow.
You're doing something to give yourself about Daniel Tice going back to the Celtics.
Yeah, just about
another good move. Another good move today for Boston. I just said you wonder about arranging your franchise to make sure Bradley Beal stays. Dallas is making moves to make sure they can keep Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's a nice player. Jalen Brunson, after he's not making a second round pick minimum contract, is fine. And so
Let me ask you this question. Before we saw Jalen Brunson being much better this season than any time before, if I told you at the beginning of the year Dallas is going to be able to get off Porzingis' contract, they're going to take some bad money back, are you really going to be that upset about it? Like, to me, I'd been like, that's what they want to do.
I don't think they got off the contract. Like, they still have, like, they
took the same money back. Yeah.
They took the same money back, but it's two separate deals, right? Like, in that sense of, like, somebody at some point, we know GMs are going to make bad trades. Somebody at some point is going to talk themselves into Spencer Dinwiddie again, because it's happened three times already.
Yeah. I wonder if there's stuff that we just don't know behind the scenes that might have pushed this a little bit, because, I mean, I think that when Porzingis has been healthy, that Mavericks team has obviously been better. And their defense has been way better when he's out there and healthy. So there has to have been something. Should we move on to another trade, or you guys got more on Porzingis? This is a lot of Porzingis. Let's talk about Boston. Boston's doing some interesting stuff. We just mentioned they got Daniel Tice in exchange for Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder's going to Houston. I'm guessing that he's not going to be there very long. That that's going to be a big swing piece. Yeah. So they got Daniel Tice. They also picked up, in a trade with the San Antonio Spurs, who have been oddly active at this deadline, they got Derek White. This is a good trade for Boston. They did a good job. They had a trade earlier with the Magic. They sent out PJ Dozier and Bol Bol and a future second. And they ducked the tax, and they managed to improve their team. Derek White is actually a fantastic pick and roll player. I get the vision here.
Yeah, he's the kind of player that they've needed, right? Like a decent facilitator, a guy that can shoot it a little bit. You know, he's a pretty good defender. I like it for Boston quite a bit.
Yeah. Mo, look, we keep saying they need a playmaker. They need a point guard. I mean, Derek White's not what we would traditionally think of as a point guard. You know, he's not Chris Paul. But he knows how to run an offense. Like I mentioned before, very good in the pick and roll. And he's not going to be a drop off in defense for them. I mean, this is a really good trade.
I actually think this is it. So at first I was kind of questioning it, because, you know, that's what I am. I'm a jerk. We got to deal with it. Seth knows all about it. But the more I think about it, I'm like, this is actually a really good trade for Boston, in the sense of, this is another ball mover. And this is a very good ball mover. And I know, you know, they swing the ball really well. Like, they've been passing a lot better lately for the Celtics. But adding another guy that's not a ball stopper, coming from the Spurs system too, that's automatic catch, make a quick decision and things like that. I think all of this goes a long way for them, for the Celtics. And you know what? Like, congratulate the internet. Congratulate you guys. Y'all convinced me this is a really good trade in the in the process, because even the internet was all over me, because I'm quabbling over the picks. It's not just the 2022 pick, it's the pick swap in 2028, which Brad Stevens is probably like, I might not even be here, so whatever.
Are you saying bullying works?
Huh?
Bullying
I wouldn't works. Say I was bullied. Unlike most people, can listen to reason.
That's good.
Okay, and make changes, and that's what I did there.
Now, on the Spurs side of this deal in particular, they get Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford, top four protected pick this year. I'm assuming Josh Richardson is either going to get moved. Maybe he was in the last 4 minutes, and I just didn't see it. But Romeo Langford's an interesting piece, Seth. He's a tough guard, but he just, you know, he had the injury issue coming in, hasn't really been able to pick up momentum. I don't know if the Spurs are going to be a great place for him either, because they have a lot of these guys. I don't know.
It's tricky.
I think this was just about the pick.
Yes.
Yeah. they probably want to get a better look at Lonnie Walker and Devin Vassell and Josh Primo. And so, yeah, if Lankford kind of gets in their player development system and something happens, great. But I think that was more just the as much the kind of the salary in the roster spot to make things happen rather than much more than, you know, maybe from a value standpoint, probably as a mid to late second is probably about what he was in the trade as. I really like this for Boston still. You're talking about the offensive fit. They don't have a playmaker, but they have four guys in their closing lineup who can do a little bit of playmaking. Now, does, you know, four quarters equal a dollar here? Probably not, but it's better than three, and they're going to be defensively nasty. Like closing games with a closing lineup of, especially against playoff teams that are going to tend to go small, with Smart and White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams. That is a tough defensive lineup right there.
Yep.
And, you know, they have two really good shot creators. And so maybe the game is going to be a little bit of a rock fight, but they're equipped to win a rock fight.
Yeah. David Aldridge, Hall of Famer. Welcome. How are you?
What's up, fellas?
Busy trade deadline for you? Or
nothing going on.
Yeah. You didn't trade anyone?
Days young.
We were talking about Boston. Boston picking up Derek White. And, you know, we were trying to guess what the Spurs were thinking. They pick up this pick. They clearly are trying to consolidate their guards quite a bit. But Boston made out like a bandit getting Derek White. Solves a lot of problems for them, David.
I agree. I like what Boston's doing. They get Daniel back now too. I mean, you know, for a guy that really wasn't going to be part of their future. I mean, Brad's done a nice job today. I think they're switchable. I think defensively they can be really good. I agree. I think Boston, without giving really much up at all, really helped themselves today.
Well, since we've got you here and you are Mr. Washington, D.C., how are you feeling about Kristaps Porzingis coming to town?
Yeah, the oft, in, you know, I, who, I don't know.
He'll be at training camp in like two seasons.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be ready to go in the fall of 2024. What's the problem? I don't see any grand upside here other than you got off of an extra year of Bertans, but you're paying so much for it. I don't know what the worth of it really is, you know, like, so I will give the Wizards credit only for they knew this thing wasn't working at all. And there was no point in going forward with this group another second, but you know, short term, I don't see any great benefit. I don't really see any great benefit next year. Now they need to go get a point guard again, which was
exactly. Well, maybe they can get Jalen Brunson.
He's doing. You know,
Jalen Brunson's going to be a free agent, and Dallas might lose him. So, does this you think inform Bradley Beal's decision on an extension, or is it more about the fact that he could have the single biggest contract in NBA history?
Well, look. If he's going for the bag, guys.
I mean, yeah.
And I, you know, I've said this to people all the time. Yeah. I mean, look,
I have to pretend.
At some point, it's a quarter of $1 billion. Okay. Because I don't care if you're happy, take the quarter bill.
I'd play for the Willamette Wizards for that kind of money.
Figure out happiness later, right? So it's up to them to figure out what to do when he says in a year and a half, yeah, I'll take, I'm very appreciative of the quarter bill. Now get me out of here.
That is sort of the tricky part, right? Is that's the assumption.
Yeah. I have a question for you, DA. Do you think there's a possibility with how that worked out so well when they did that with John Wall, that the Wizards might be like, maybe we don't want to do this again? Like, is that something that might be something going on with the Wizards? Like, we talk about the players definitely would want it, but
that ship has sailed so long ago. I only wrote it 3 years ago that they should trade Brad, you know, because it was the time to trade Brad. If you, right. Yeah. It was the time to start over. Ted Leonsis doesn't want to start over. He's made that clear. He said it. All of their actions speak to it. They never go all the way down. They never trade everybody and tank for. And this is what I don't understand about this position that they have right now. There's literally 25 games left in the season. It's not like there's 75 games left in the season. There's 20 games. There's 6 weeks. You could suck for 6 weeks and maybe get a top four pick, you know, and have a chance to kind of really rewire this thing quickly, depending on what you think about the draft and who you like. And you still got to get the guy right. I mean, we had three teams take a top four pick this year. And nobody said Cleveland was the best of those four, right? Like nobody said, oh yeah, Evan Mobley's going to clearly be the best guy out of this group, yeah. Right? So you don't know. None of us know. But it gives you a better chance, right? So, but they won't do it. They won't do it. Yeah. They won't take it down to the studs. That's not, they just don't do it. And as I wrote the other day, like if this was San Antonio and they'd won five rings, they had five champs, they were great for 20 years. Or even Oklahoma City was great for six, right? Like they were great. They were a 60-win team. They went to a finals. The Wizards literally have not won 50 games in 40 years. Like how can you keep asking people to wait? I don't understand. Like, get it.
I was with the Clippers. It's no, you can ask. I had a long run of that.
Guys, if you're on Twitter, you can ask questions with the hashtag AskNerder, and we'll be pulling questions from there. DA, look, I actually think that the Wizards, they have more decisions to make than the ones that they made. It's more than just Bradley Beal. Like, they probably should have tried to get something for KCP. This is not a team that's really competitive. He's a guy who could help a contender. They might have got a draft pick.
Look, I agree. I think, you know, I would have, you know, Thomas Bryant, KCP, there's guys they could have traded for additional assets. You know, maybe it's a second round pick. Maybe it's a future first down the road. You know, they're stuck. One of the reasons they're stuck is because they have to convey this first to Oklahoma City, which initially was supposed to go to Houston in the Westbrook trade. And they have to convey it at some point, and they can't trade any picks until they convey it. So they got to get another first from somebody. This was the perfect opportunity to get another first that maybe they could use to get rid of that obligation and move on, for God's sake. But they didn't do it. So I don't know. I don't know what to say, guys.
I always appreciate when a comment gives me my segue. At least the Wizards did something. Yeah. Unlike the New York Knicks, unlike the Los Angeles Lakers, who couldn't get anything done. Now, those teams don't really have a lot, although I would say the Knicks had some assets. The Lakers have nothing to trade.
Had you guys heard there was some three-team thing with the Lakers and Toronto and the Knicks?
Cam Reddish going to LA.
THT winds up in, I don't know if he wound up in Toronto or New York, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But there was some
Toronto in the one I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. Being discussed there. Yeah. Yeah. So,
The Lakers were on Cam when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah. Right?
Like, he was a guy that they were interested in. So I thought there was some smoke there. I thought that might happen. I don't know that Cam Reddish, does he make a difference to you, David?
Not that he makes a difference, but to your point, they got to do something. Like it's obvious this thing is sinking out there, right? You have to try something. You have to bring another body in somewhere. Look, as crazy as the Westbrook Wall thing sounded, it wasn't that crazy. Like it was. Like,
I agree.
We have to do something. We have to try something. We can't go into the playoffs with this, right? And so. I don't know what John's got left, but it's not like John was awful last year in Houston. He wasn't efficient, but he wasn't awful. You know, like
he's better than what they're getting right now.
Yeah. So to me, it was like, yeah, okay, try that. You know, you have to be proactive in some way because there is just no chance. They might not be in the play-in round. You know, like,
oh man.
Wouldn't that be unbelievable?
They made the play-in just for the Lakers.
It's just crazy.
Go ahead, Seth.
No, the thing about like John Wall, I think, has accepted where he is as a player now much more than Russell Westbrook has. So even like regardless of who has more left in terms of who is going to give a team with Anthony Davis and LeBron James more, it's the guy who is the more realistic sense of where he is, even if, you know, the both are on terrible contracts and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that made sense just on those terms. Yeah. And that's frankly, Who could have seen it coming except for everybody? But that is kind of torpedoed. The combination of that and the fact that the Lakers traded all their depth. Like, we made the joke last week. Who do the Lakers need? They need Kakuz one, Kevin Knavius called
right.
So those two things, I think, have combined to basically torpedo the Lakers season.
Yeah. I don't want to be revisionist on this. I thought Westbrook could work out there. I really did. I thought he could. I thought he'd figure it out with LeBron and with AD. I thought the three of them would figure it out together, and they didn't. So I'll take the L on that one. In their defense,
they don't have a lot of good players, and their two best players have dealt with injuries all year.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm just, you know, giving them a chance here. Now the rest of the guys suck.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have a good team.
Now here's the thing. Like, why wouldn't the Lakers have tried to go get Justin Holiday? You know what I mean? Like, that's
Justin Holiday is a guy. Why didn't Utah try to get Justin Holiday?
But it would take somebody wanting the crap they had.
That's it.
Right. And it's not like, you know, I think the misconception of people when teams are like, why didn't my team make a trade? They worked the phones. Mm-hmm. They made a lot of phone calls. It was just a lot of calls back. We're like, nah, we don't know.
You don't think there's any interest in THT or none? I mean, Justin Holiday, not for
I mean, none hasn't played at all this season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have, and that's like a bone bruise,
which is
something that can really last a long time. Yes. And then with THT has not played to the expectations of anybody expected.
He's been bad. I know.
The truth is, they blew it last season when you had a chance to get Kyle Lowry and they refused to put THT out there in the deal.
Yeah.
Yo, what are you? You're trying to win a championship now. And that's my problem with some of these teams that refuse to trade a young guy when it's like, this is our window. LeBron wasn't getting any younger. It's a different deal. And look at how well, you know, Lowry's when he's out there, and granted there's some injury stuff, but when he's out there for Miami, they look so good. Yeah. And I think it's just a lot of those issues with that is that they really thought he was going to take this leap. And I think the rest of the league just saw it and go, like, I'm not a THT fan. When I watch him play, I don't know what he does. He gets to the rim, some acrobatic finish, doesn't get to the line, and sometimes it goes in. That's it. I mean, that's kind of my expert analysis on THT's game right there.
But he's got good marketing.
Well, he's a young player who plays for the Lakers, so that's kind of baked in.
Exactly.
The problem with THT is A, he hasn't been good, and B, there's no way you can win that deal. He's got 1 year left at, you know, $10 million,
mm-hmm.
And he's probably isn't playing at that level this year. Then if he's good, the year after is a player option. So then you have to all of a sudden, oh, he's good. Now I have to pay him $25 million. And
right.
So it is not only did they make the mistake in there's almost three mistakes in one here.
Like not treating their own guy too much.
Yeah. Not trading him last year because they were too high on that. Yeah. Choosing this is simplistic. This isn't there wasn't a one-to-one choice, but in effect choosing him over Caruso. And then the contract they gave him is one that is basically negates his value as a trade asset almost. So it's you talk about the Westbrook deal itself, mismanaging their assets, the Horton Tucker deal, like, just compounds that. I think the way they structured that contract.
Completely botching a LeBron James Anthony Davis team is quite an accomplishment.
It's amazing. LeBron pulling this off, botching this.
Brewster's millions.
I mean, what an incredible job. It's actually sad because LeBron still looks so good. And it's like, oh, it'd be nice to see him on a real team.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I want to, as we kind of close here, we're now 20 minutes post deadline. I don't think any more trades are rolling in.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I actually want to start, I want to go around and ask you guys what your favorite player that moved today was, given fit and how they're going to improve their team. I'm going to start because I want to steal the best one.
Yeah, cheater.
I know. Yeah. It's the Phoenix Suns getting Torrey Craig back, right? So you bring back a guy who has already played with you. He knows what to do. They needed a wing. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. Like, we felt like the Suns could use another wing. And, you know, Jalen Smith nets them something, which was a guy that we thought, you know, they declined his player option. Or his team option for this year. And we thought, oh, that was a waste of a draft pick. Well, they got Torrey Craig back for their playoff run. So that's my favorite player move of the day. David Aldridge, would you like to, as the guest?
Go to somebody else.
Okay. All right. Let me think about that for a second. I'm going to put Seth on the spot.
Seth Curry to Brooklyn. Like, that's the kind of, like, The big deal is what it is, but it's often these kind of small pieces, the smaller pieces that kind of finish out a deal that determine. I mean, people forget that, or maybe they don't forget. It's been talked about enough now that Chris Middleton was a throw-in in the Brandon Jennings, Brandon Knight trade back in the day. And so those little small things can have big impacts. And it's hard to think of kind of a support player more useful to what Brooklyn needs than Seth Curry that was available. So that's mine.
Andrew, Mo, either?
I'm going to just not answer your question at all and just talk about how shocked I am that Jeremy Grant and Eric Gordon weren't moved. Those are both pretty surprising of teams that are both trying to gather assets, like guys that probably had value out there, and they're going to stay. And how much are they going to play for those teams? Because, I mean, Jeremy Grant will not help the Detroit Pistons with their goals down the stretch. So I'm just curious what that looks like. Marvin Bagley will definitely be a huge help. That's my and that segues into my favorite guys, Marvin Bagley to the Pistons. Is going to help them get the first pick.
All right, Mo, who you got, man?
I think it's a small one, but I think Serge Ibaka going to Milwaukee is actually a pretty big one in the sense of we don't know what's happening with Brook Lopez. They've needed another big man. They addressed the need pretty badly. I think they've kind of nailed it. In there, I think Ibaka being able to stretch the floor again, he's looked right coming back for the Clippers, you know, and he had a really big game against the Lakers, looked really spry and back to his normal self. Like, I think he's actually going to be a pretty big pickup for the Bucks moving forward in this, especially it's just kind of signaling that, like, hey man, like, we don't think Brook Lopez is playing this season.
Yeah. He should be able to play some big without Giannis and with Giannis, right? Like, he's going to be a good piece for them as long as he can stay healthy.
They needed another big, regardless of whether Lopez comes back or not. So I don't necessarily know that signals anything one way or another about Lopez. This is.
See, that was me cutting off his mic. Yes. He went against what I said. Yeah. So that was me just pulling the cord.
We got to upgrade that office internet. Yeah, there you go. I think. Yeah, you're back.
Yeah. No, they you know, with Grayson Allen kind of emerging this year, they kind of would moved off wanting to re-sign Dante DiVincenzo and wanted to rebalance and add some front court depth because it was, you know, at this point it's Giannis and Bobby Portis and
that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah. All right.
David. All right.
All right. How about fake Eric Gordon to the Raptors? I think that's a big deal for them. Pretend Eric Gordon account, fakery to the Raptors was a big deal. Now, Derek White's a good deal for Boston. Really good. Really good. And that helps them out a lot in terms of what they want their team to be and what it looks like they're becoming. Right. And so I think that's a big pickup. And I am, boy, the top four in the East are good really, really good.
It's awesome.
They're really good. I came in late, so give me the recap. What do we think? I think Brooklyn had a really good day today.
We spent a good 10 to 12 minutes just basically giving the title to Brooklyn.
Right? Didn't Brooklyn have a really good day today?
Great day. Brooklyn had a great day.
And
got the better end of the deal, I think, with just getting draft picks, getting another shooter. Like it's all of those things. Like I think I am not very high on this deal for Philly, but that's I don't want to rehash old things.
I mean, it's possible. Couldn't they play Ben at the five? Couldn't they do that?
Oh yeah, right. And I think that they sort of will. Where like he and KD would be nominally the two bigs, and you're going to see them switching quite a bit. I actually think this opens up a lot for them if KD is healthy when he comes back.
Right, sure.
He's not hampered at all.
Sure.
Yeah, that's I don't know, man. That team is really, really tough.
The only team in the East they can't do that against is Philly.
Right.
But that's where Drummond comes in.
But they've got Andre Drummond.
It won't work against Milwaukee. They don't really have a lot of that's a tough matchup.
I don't know what the splits are. Has Ben ever guarded Giannis for extended minutes?
Giannis dunked on him in the post.
Yeah, it's a different they're different animals.
There's a fairly notable incident, maybe just here locally living in Milwaukee, where Giannis kind of put him in the basket and ran that back down the court, yelling loudly, "He's a effing baby." So that kind of describes how that matchup has gone.
Every
time.
What did he yell the other night after he got Anthony Davis? That's what I want to know. Because, I mean, Giannis just takes it up a
notch. Oh, he destroyed AD earlier in the year, too.
I have never heard LeBron say, "Yeah, we're just not as good as they are." Have you ever heard him say that?
That was interesting.
Wow.
I could just say
but in he got LA, his 30 points, guys.
I could just say in LA, this works out so well for the Rams. Right now that they have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and if they can win it on Sunday, and the Lakers are because nobody wants to talk about the Lakers right now here in LA.
There's an extended lockout in baseball, and the Dodgers never play.
This has worked out so perfectly for the Los Angeles Rams. I am just curious what they've been doing behind the scenes to interfere with everybody.
Rams are tampering with the NBA trade deadline.
We always said LA was Lakers a football town. Who didn't know? LA was a football town.
Right. Oh, well, it's a USC Trojan town, baby. Yeah, baby.
Who's winning the Super Bowl, guys? I know it's off topic, but we're getting ready to wrap.
I'll pick the Rams. I have no particular conviction.
Yeah, I think the Rams are going to win just because it's cooler.
I'll say Bengals just to oppose Mo.
There you go.
Oh, we want to do this, Andrew, huh?
We do every time, you know.
Okay. You know what? Before we go, actually, let's do one more basketball topic. Is there a team aside from the Lakers and Knicks, that you thought was going to make a move that didn't? Anybody come to mind? I thought one move might happen until Sabonis got moved was the Miles Turner move. We all have been talking that up since the summer. But as soon as Sabonis was moved, I figured Indy wasn't moving Miles Turner. Maybe I was wrong for thinking that way.
He'll move
this summer. But was there a team that you guys thought might make a move that they didn't?
I was surprised Miami didn't. They just after it seemed like they made a minor move yesterday, moving KZ Apala and messing with draft protections to open up their possibility of trading more first round picks. And that just felt like such a preparatory move that I was a little surprised that they didn't have something sort of lined up to kind of follow that up with today.
Yeah. I wonder if they just were second place on a few deals. Because again, this is a team, they don't have a lot.
Yeah.
You know, do you like Duncan Robinson? Is kind of what I imagine that phone call goes like. Is there anybody you thought really like was going to do something, push some chips in and just didn't?
I don't know if I thought they were going to do anything, but I've been screaming for weeks that I thought the Warriors needed to do something and needed to add a big. I think the Draymond Green injury is really something that I think is can come back to bite them. They might get something in the buyout because we know the buyout market's a whole different, is like the next version of the trade deadline, but or it's like the ugly stepsister. I think for me though, is they needed to add that depth, you know, that basically Milwaukee did, whether it was Serge Ibaka or whatnot, they needed to find it just one more big guy to just kind of strengthen that front court. Cause I think they're going to have some issues.
Wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't Orlando buy out Brooke Lopez or Robin Lopez and let him go?
And they might.
You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that I think Gary Harris is a guy.
He's not helping. He's not doing anything for them. Like
Gary Harris is a guy really that probably is going to get bought out.
Do you really think Robin Lopez wants to leave Orlando? He has his house in Disney World. What
Disney,
are you,
baby?
He's got his Disney World house. You're taking him away from his
home.
He'll
take a buyout.
Brooke's house. To be clear, it is Brooke Lopez's house, not Robin's.
Oh, I thought they both had one. Oh, so he's squatting. Oh, interesting.
I was surprised Minnesota didn't do anything. I thought they would move Beasley for something. You know,
Beasley was the only guy I thought that they might move. I think that they're just in wait and see mode, right? Like they've got a lot of room for internal development. Jaden McDaniels is going to be incredible next year. Defensively, he's already something, but you can see the offensive stuff coming along for them. I think Anthony Edwards is clearly going like this. So I don't mind them taking a wait and see, because when teams in that spot, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Seth, because I know you pay attention to this, but it just feels like when teams are in the spot that Minnesota's in, every single time they start pushing chips in, we just go, not that guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and I'm just glad that they didn't do that. I so like that team.
Is this you want me to talk about Tyrese Halliburton now? Or
please, please. How did Indiana – teams did not know that Tyrese Halliburton was that gettable.
So I've talked to some people, and there was one other team that I was aware of that knew that he was even out there, and everyone else was like, we didn't even get a chance to. So yeah, I think what this is sort of a, you will trade for an all-star was sort of the mantra there. And you know what, like Sabonis is going to be a more impactful player for a team at their level this year than Halliburton would be. It's the analogy I use is you're hitting the gas in a Hyundai. Because they're, you know, like, you haven't built
them. Well, they're good cars, man. You're hitting the gas in a Yugo. Let's pick a real bad car.
You know, they might make the play, and like a Yugo would be, you know, we're gonna hit the gas and get to 12th.
Well,
you
know, yeah. I mean, that's probably what they're gonna do, though, right? Like, they're currently 12th, and they're 2.5 games behind the Pelicans for the 10th spot. I think the Pelicans got a little bit better.
The Pelicans have the 10th spot. It's amazing. Without Zion, and even before they got CJ, you got to give Willie Green some love here, guys. That's some great coaching right there after as poorly as they started the season. I think, what were they, like 1-12 at one point?
Yeah. With little to no help from the front office.
And he's literally kind of pieced this whole thing together. I thought the computer was broken when it told me that they were in the 10th seed for a second. I was like, what's going on? Like, you know, it took me a second, and it's got to give them some credit there. I'm rooting for them to get the 10th seed.
Yeah. Sacramento is a game and a half behind Portland right now. And that's going to change. So Sacramento is at least going to be 11th, and I guess they'll be sniffing that 10th seed, but they got better. I mean, I like the DiVincenzo pickup for them. Even right. He and Davion Mitchell, look, they're not big guys, but they're bulldogs, man. Like you could put those two guys out there if you really wanted to take the pressure up a notch. You've got some speed with Fox. Sabonis is going to do the stuff that he does, whether I like to watch it or not. You know, that doesn't matter. He's going to do the things that he does, which is be fairly productive. Their defense is going to be a tire fire inside.
Yeah.
But you've got two good guards that can do stuff up front. So that, I don't know, man. They've got a shot at the 10th spot. It's dumb to go for it.
Going all in. I mean, Halliburton is a lot to give up, but again, they haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. You know, you can't keep telling your fans, we're going to just run it back next year. No, you have to do something. And they did something. So good for them.
Two games to circle on your calendar. The Kings play the Pelicans on March 2nd and April 5th.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna definitely circle those on my calendar. Get out of here.
Hold on, let me go ahead and put that in my calendar here.
Make sure I'm there in time for both.
Net Sixers, March 10th. That's what I've got. That's what I've got.
There will be 700 credentials at that game.
Besides Dave, I'm all about.
Is that in Philly or is that in Brooklyn?
It's in Philly.
Also, we have it's a Kyrie game.
Oh yeah, it's a Kyrie game too. That's right. Yeah,
that'll be good. They set this up. Who writes this stuff, Jade?
I think Jade does.
Yeah. Speaking of, as I wrap up here, thanks to Tim McMaster and Jade Hoy for producing behind the scenes of the live show today. It was a lot of fun. It was much easier because of those guys. So thanks them. Thanks to them, as always. Thanks to David Aldridge for popping in.
Sure.
You make me look good when you show up, David. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Andrew, thanks. You're the unofficial fourth member of Nerder She Wrote Now, I think.
I didn't approve this.
This week. And yes. Seth and Mo, thank you guys as always for helping out on the show and doing all that you do. I'm Dave DeFore. For those guys, thanks for listening to the Athletic NBA Show. Thanks for watching us on the live stream. We're hoping to do more of these come playoff time. We're going to try to get more involved, be more interactive with you guys. So thanks for that. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Go subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/NBA show so you can tell them how much you love this show and us in particular. Till next week, this has been Nerder, She Wrote, on The Athletic.